Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Dave Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
I could do.
Daryl Loomis.
Howdy-ho.
Eric Astroslager.
Hi there.
And we have a special guest star. Yes, you heard me. Guest star. That'd be Matt Farley, a Manchester, New Hampshire filmmaker who I've actually had the pleasure to review some films with DVD Verdict. A guy whose work I appreciate a great deal. So, Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. This is great.
Nice. So I guess we'll just take a few seconds before we kind of get into the rigmarole. Just you do have a new film out called Local Legends. And I did watch it, got a kick out of it, as I knew I would. Is it semi-biographical?
It's like 95% autobiographical, I would say.
Nice. So it's actually pretty cool. So I'll let you kind of tell our listening audience and these guys here tell me about the cycle you do with your movie making, because you kind of do an interesting, like, movie cycle.
Explain that more. What do you mean by
so like cycle? You make a movie, then you save up for a couple of years, right?
Oh yeah.
So that cycle. So that cycle of movie making. Yeah, not like the unicycle or a bicycle.
Yeah. Well, you know, the movies don't make any money, so it's 2-3 years of savings. It's a lot of money for me, but you know, for a movie, it's nothing. But about $10,000 has to be saved, and then I spend it all in about 2 weeks of filming, and then. We put out a movie and 5 or 6 people watch it, and then the cycle starts again.
It sounds like a Stephen King short story, you know. you obviously put care into these movies because they're shot well. You have a lot of I see a lot of recognizable faces that show up in each movie, so you must have kind of a go-to cast, right?
Yep, friends and family. The thing I've learned is that you need to cast people who you know will show up. And so if it's someone that you're going to see every Thanksgiving, then they're less likely to bail on you last minute.
Nice. So tell me about why do that? Why devote all this money and this effort and like it's, you know, just why continue the cycle? So what is your draw?
I just love it. Age 13, I got my hands on a video camera and just started making movies with my friends. And I thought, this is delightful, and I just haven't stopped. Each movie gets a little bit better, but they're amateur, you know, it's amateur work. But I like that. I'm a big fan of homemade movies, and I don't know what the end goal is. I guess it's just to keep doing it.
Nice. And what was your – there was a great line you had in the Local Legends about the price – like your movies are the price of a – of a used car,
yeah.
Right?
And each movie costs about the same as buying a used car, and I'd rather have a bunch of movies than a bunch of used cars.
Nice. That's a good way to look at it. So what I like about your stuff, too, is, like, you've got the right tone. I mean, you see some low-budget movies, and they're just annoying. You know, I think we've all kind of – I think everyone here's probably reviewed those at some point, right? They're just annoying. I don't know. They're like inside. I don't know. They're just annoying. But for some, your tone, you've got a good tone. I think your sense of humor. It's a good sense of humor, and they're actually pretty. Like you could probably watch them with your kids too, right?
Yeah. They're very family friendly, and I know what you mean. I mean, so many independent movies just drive me crazy, and even in the Hollywood movies that they pretend are independent movies, those drive me crazy too.
Oh, that's getting worse.
I just like to have fun. Fun is probably the main goal of all these movies.
And I think that definitely shows. And I would say, I definitely see the bump in quality as you go for sure. I like them all, but like I think the River Beast is probably my favorite one. I think that had that was a nice kind of combination of all the stuff I loved about the stuff you've done with a pretty great rubber monster suit. Where'd you dig that up?
We hired a guy. We paid him $900 to design the whole suit, and we didn't want to pay. Well, he finished it literally 2 or 3 days before filming, and we didn't want to risk it being in transit on the day that we needed it. So I drove to Delaware the day before we started filming and back just to get the suit.
Nice. Where does the suit live now?
It lives in the basement. It's really, we waited till the last day to do the scenes where the beast was in the river. And after that, it was just, it's very disgusting. But we're going to keep it. We have plans for a sequel maybe in 15 years or something.
Fantastic. do you shoot in Manchester? I mean, I recognize a lot of the venues for sure. But is that your main shooting, Manchester, Greater Manchester?
Yeah, I don't even live in Manchester anymore, but I still go back to there. Yeah, especially on the weekends, it's like a complete ghost town. So it's like you have your own movie set, and as long as you don't mind the occasional homeless person harassing you, it's you can do whatever you want.
Oh, nice. Let me open up to Mac, Daryl, Eric. Do you guys have any burning questions to ask a true independent filmmaker?
Well, I'm just really interested in how technology is changing so fast. It's reached the point now where anyone can just, with their phone, shoot a movie and with a single click put it on the internet. And kind of what are your thoughts on that, and where is the line between just a five-minute YouTube video and a feature? And are those lines really being blurred, or are they still separate?
I think they're very separate. I don't do much short stuff. Some reason I just feel like there's a dividing line between anything less than 10, anything less than 10 minutes. I feel anyone can do, but to try to actually keep someone's attention for 75 to 90 minutes is, you know, you really, that's a task and a challenge that I take seriously. And the newest movie I have, Local Legends, I just dumped it on YouTube. So that part of the new technology is fantastic. You just put it up there and anyone can watch it. Otherwise, you know, just even if I'm giving away DVDs, I'm losing a couple dollars to make the DVD each time I give one away, you know?
Nice. And you shoot a lot of your stuff on film, right?
We did that for Freaky Farley and the one that came after it, Monsters, Marriage, and Murder in Manch Vegas.
Right.
But it came down to $30 per minute of shooting. And it was just, it was terrifying.
Like you had so, every take on the money.
Yeah. These new, the SLR cameras, they're beautiful. They look great. So I mean, there's a certain something to film that you can't totally recreate, but this is close enough.
Nice. Daryl, Eric, got anything spring to mind?
Well, I guess I'm wondering a little bit about, like, your feelings. I mean, I know you just said something, but that sparked my interest a little bit, because I do some video work with some of the SLRs, and you know, I mean, what do you know? Obviously, it's cheaper, but I guess I'm curious about what you think the real trade off is between the two, between film and video.
I mean, if you're not, if you don't know what you're doing, and I don't actually know what I'm doing, but the guy I work with, Charlie Roxburgh, he works in digital effects and whatnot. So he's able to, in post, kind of lower the harshness of the colors.
Uh-huh.
Because on its own with these cameras, it still kind of looks like a TV newscast, I find, versus that softer film feel. So the movie I just made, Local Legends, I made on my own without Charlie, and because I'm not good at subtly lower the colors, it's black and white, and I feel that helps it get back to that film look more easily for me, at least.
Gotcha.
So what else inspires you besides movies? What do you draw from for these films of yours?
Prior to the current one, they're all tributes to bad, low-budget movies from the 70s and 80s. Just good old-fashioned, cheesy monster movies in which the audience usually doesn't know that we're joking, and so they think it's the worst movie ever made, but we're in on the joke. And the one I just made is kind of an autobiographical look at my life as a small-time artistic person in Manchester.
And including all the songs you did, like some ridiculous amount of songs you've written, right?
I've released 13,000 songs in the last 5 years, correct.
So that is prolific, prolific. So, yeah, so I'm not joking, dude. These are really fun movies, and I think it's like, as someone who has been exposed to the teenage stuff and whatnot, you know, the mountains of garbage, you know, shooting at low budgets. It's, I don't know, it's just kind of, it's, it was nice to see something that, just struck a right tone. Wasn't like, you know, you weren't going for lame, you know, lame shock gags or something. You know, it was just, it seemed well thought out, well executed, and I got a kick out of it. So, yeah, so check out my reviews for sure, and, you know, pick up a, are those still for sale? Can you buy your DVDs still?
River Beast is actually available on demand through most cable providers, Verizon, AT&T, Comcast.
Actually, I don't know if anyone here, though, has cable anymore on this podcast. We've gone over, like, cutting the cord. Well, hopefully anyone listening has cable. Definitely check it out. It's a lot of fun and a lot of great Manchester footage.
I'm hoping it'll eventually get to Netflix, too, but I don't know for sure.
Nice, nice. Excellent. Well, yeah, so we'll keep moving on. Matt's going to stick with us for the duration of this podcast, and I think he's going to fit in perfectly with the tomfoolery we get up to. So we'll keep rolling along and just report on stuff we've seen, any movies we've seen. Mac, why don't you kick off at your entertainment report?
Sure thing. Well, Dave, you and I went and saw The World's End.
Yes, we did.
New film from Edgar Wright. I almost said Nicholas Wright. Edgar Wright. And it was really a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on in the movie. It's really busy. I think it's going to take like multiple viewings to kind of suss out all the little details, the little nuances. But basically it's, you know, five guys who are in various levels of wanting to recapture their past, go on this pub crawl, and all sorts of crazy stuff happens. But now, Dave, when we talked about it before, you said that there's an epilogue at the end of the film. I won't spoil it, but there's an epilogue that you thought kind of soured you on the experience.
Yeah, that might be too strong a word. It just didn't quite seem to fit for me because I was, I was with it and laughing real hard, and like I knew I would, and because I love those guys, I love their stuff, and for some reason, I mean, this is just purely subjective. Right. It just the denouement there just didn't quite fit for some reason. So it didn't leave me feeling as jazzed as I would have been 5 minutes before.
I've been thinking about it more and more, and I think the more I think about it, the more I've started to come around on the epilogue. I think I've started to really like it.
All right, excellent.
Because I think it really sort of represents the themes of what the movie's trying to say, and with the Simon Pegg. Why can't I say his name? Simon Pegg's character, Gary. With what Gary is sort of what he wants and what he's striving for and how it ends for him. I thought it was actually really appropriate. So, again, I want to see the movie again repeatedly, but I think I've come around. It's sort of come together in my head in such a way that I think the epilogue really fits. But, yeah, mostly, though, it's a really great talented movie. Lots of really just sort of crazy barroom brawls that are just tons of fun.
Yeah, good fun. And I'll piggyback on this, and I'll go ahead and I'll say that, I mean, as a trilogy, a great, you know, a great three-part trilogy there. Technically a trilogy, I guess. Very loosely a trilogy, I suppose. But, yeah, all three movies are great, even though I will say watching this propelled me to watch Hot Fuzz yet again. And that movie, I think that movie is in my top five of all time. I think Hot Fuzz has earned its space, its place there. So yeah, I'd agree with you. Great time at the movie. I felt it was just a little off at the end, but you know, I don't want that's like a fraction of a point off if we were doing a lame score. But yeah, beyond that, great time, just laughing pretty loud and hard throughout. So, all right, Daryl, how about you?
Well, you know, nothing big as always. Continuing with Breaking Bad, and I'm about, I guess I got two episodes left in season three, and I'm loving it. But I recently talked about that. I did actually watch finally The Avengers.
Finally, nice. Huh?
Nice. Because that's the way I roll with new movies. So you know, I enjoyed it until the final fight.
Well, like the final 20-minute fight?
Yeah, where everybody got separated, and it seemed like, for having spent all this time, you know, what, 11 or 12 hours between all the movies, having them all separated, it seemed a little silly to me to separate them again in the end and have everything fractured. They've already done all that by themselves. I mean, you don't have Black Widow and Hawkeye together in a movie, but who really wanted that in the first place? But overall, I mean, it's a well-made movie. I just found, you know, for as interested as I was in the, you know, Thor was a lot better than in the actual Thor movie.
Agreed. I agree with that. Yeah.
Everything about it was strong until they started it with the, until they started in the final fight, and then everything, like I said, got fractured, and I sort of pretty quickly lost interest.
I almost thought that Joss Whedon kind of was a little subversive with the Thor character. You know, even like even from the Thor established in the Thor movie, you know, he kind of, I don't know, kind of poked fun at his perfect Aryan build, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, because he was so serious in the Thor movie, I think they had some fun with him in this one. So, all right, well, good. I look forward to your view of. I wonder what you're going to think of Michael Keaton as Batman. I can't
wait. Yeah, that's kind of like 2018 or something.
All right, Eric, how about you? I know you saw World's End as well.
Yeah, I'll chime in on that as well. You know, it's such a it was kind of a weird experience when you anticipate a movie so much and you finally get to see it. Sometimes it can be not exactly an ideal experience. It's a little hard to imagine. You know, you're there, you're watching it, but it doesn't feel like you're watching it. I don't know. So it's a weird thing. It's happened a few times. I definitely enjoyed The World's End when I watched it. But it was it felt a little off for me in places.
Okay.
And that's not the movie's fault. That's my that's me just in the, you know, while I was watching it. It's interesting because like
were you on drugs when you're watching this movie? Is that what we're getting to?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
obviously.
This is my intervention, isn't it?
That's right. It is your intervention.
Okay. I'll make sure I had the right night. It was a little weird watching it while I was watching it. I did like it. But it's fascinating how much, kind of like Mac, it's come together for me in thinking about it, in talking with other people about it, in reading about it, and the days after. And I can't think of another movie in recent memory where every single person who talks about it says, I need to see it again. I don't think it's just because, it's not just because Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg pack it so full of little details and Easter eggs, although they certainly do that. And there's a fascinating post on Edgar Wright's blog where he put images of all the pub signs and kind of invited people to find the hidden meanings and things in there. And it's fascinating to look at them again and see all the foreshadowing and little details that are in there. And I've since heard that, you know, in each of the pubs, somewhere there's a number inside the pub that corresponds to the number of the pub in the order of the pub crawl. It was all that kind of stuff too. But there's also a lot of, a lot of jokes, a lot of character beats, a lot of, symmetry and foreshadowing and all these things that he does so well. I mean, all of the Cornetto movies.
Right.
Even in Hot Fuzz,
I was watching it for the thousandth time and I'm picking up new stuff.
It's amazing how layered and tightly constructed all of those scripts are. I mean, those guys are, you know, amazing at that. So I know that when I see it again, I'm going to get a lot more out of it. I got a lot out of it the first time. I bought the soundtrack last week. I've been spinning that like crazy. I love that. I love the soundtrack. I love that kind of early 90s British music anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like the movie, I recommend picking that up. And it's also amazing how so much of the conversation comes down to the ending. It seems like people start talking about the movie and then immediately jump to the end, which makes sense because it is such a left turn. Again, I'm not going to spoil it here either. I was sort of left scratching my head when I first saw it. I've since come around on it too. I think that it makes sense. It works thematically and it is sort of a logical extension of the themes of the movie and where things go. I think it's another thing that will make more sense and people will get used to when they see it again. I'm just guessing, but
you mean me, don't you?
Well, you're not alone, Dave. I mean, you're not the only person who's put off by the ending. I mean, that seems to be the controversial, you know, the thing about the movie that is going to rub people the wrong way, if it does at all, is the ending. And it makes sense. I mean, it is not the ending you expect to have. I mean, they do something different and bold and definitely, you know, it is their thing. They're doing this thing. They're taking it as far as it's going to go. And I think it'll work better in time. But I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see it again.
Maybe it's the ending we deserve, though.
Maybe it is the ending we deserve. Maybe it is. We'll see. I feel like I can't even form a final opinion on the movie until I've seen it at least another time. So I hope it comes out on Blu-ray this fall. I imagine it will. Things come out so quickly now. All the early summer, probably. So I'm looking forward to that. I actually saw another movie in the theater. This was a banner weekend for me. Because my car was getting fixed, and so I was hanging out at the movie theater. I saw World's End. Before that, though, I saw a movie I'd heard a lot about on the internet. People talking a lot about You're Next.
Oh, right, yeah.
This is it's a horror movie, kind of a horror thriller. Falls in the home invasion genre, although
I really want to see that.
Yeah, it's and I won't say much of anything about it here. I will say that I'm not necessarily put off by movies in that genre, although they can make me very nervous. Last October, I watched the original Funny Games, which is, I think it's either German or an Austrian film. And it's very unsettling. Everything that happens is just sort of on edge the entire movie. This one, You're Next, plays with some similar themes, but does it in a way that I think is a lot more palatable. Has some very interesting twists on the genre. Not quite in a cabin in the woods sort of way, but in a way that kind of makes it a fun ride. I think the casting is great. Some of the stuff they do with the characters I think is really cool. I think it's a movie that people are going to revisit. It doesn't seem like it's going to do great box office wise in the theater, but I think especially if they can get it out, you know, on home video by October, I think it's going to have a pretty long shelf life. Yeah, I think so. Nice. So that was so that was good.
Very good. That's good. That's a record, right? Two movies in one day.
Back to back.
For your little film festival, a little mini.
Pretty much. I saw You're Next, ran out of the theater, bought my ticket to World's End, and ran back into another theater to see that.
Well, you know what? You know, good for you for going to buy a ticket, running.
Yeah.
Good for you.
The old pay for one, stay for more.
That's right.
That's true. How do you think about that?
Oh,
curse my pure
dignity. That's right. Hey, all right, Matt. So anything from you? Have you seen any? Well, you could probably go all the way back as far as you want to any movies you've seen.
No,
so like,
yeah. Just this week, I saw the new Woody Allen movie, Blue Jasmine. I thought it was so-so. I'm a huge Woody Allen fan. It didn't blow me away. It wasn't terrible. It was, you know.
Is this his first one since Paris, right? The Paris?
Yeah, first one since Midnight in Paris. And
he did To Rome with Love last year.
Oh, God.
You're right. But yes. Apparently it was forgettable, so that's why I forgot it.
It was forgettable. Yeah, I've seen them all. But, yeah, it was better than Rome, not as good as Paris, better than Tall Dark Stranger. But didn't blow me away. Then on video this week I watched Side Effects, the Soderbergh movie. And I thought that was very entertaining. I liked it a lot.
Nice. All right. And we're on the threshold of the fall TV season, so we will be getting into some TV pretty soon. Although I don't think, again, no one has cable, so I guess that was a pointless. That was a pointless segue. So let's.
I still do have cable.
Good. Yeah.
Is there anything you're looking forward to, Dave? I'm not even sure what's coming.
You know what? That's a good question. So there are. It's very slim pickings, but there's a couple of. Well, we know how this story usually ends, but there are a couple of unique Fox shows that I'm interested in.
That'll be a fun 2 weeks.
It'll be a great 2 weeks, but yeah. But honestly, if you were looking at all the shows, I mean, aside from the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. one, I don't know too much about that, but everything else is just like your procedurals and blah, 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 right? So at least Fox, I mean, they're doing this crazy Ichabod Crane one where he's back in the modern times. I mean, who knows, but sign me up. And there's a... See, I don't know. 24 is not this fall, but there was a half-hour comedy, I think, from Michael Schur, right? Parks and Rec guy. I think he's the Andy Samberg cop comedy. I think he's doing that. I mean, so you know, that's a possibility. But yeah, there's a couple things on Fox, but I am bracing myself for a quick in and out, a quick run, and then it'll be just back to watching. I don't know. One of these 16 ninja movies I have to watch one of these days. So. All right. So, Mac, moving on.
All right. Let's take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. And everyone listening can play along at home. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to hit the upcoming DVD releases tab. And from there, we'll scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for September 3rd. And just talk about whatever we see on the list here.
All right.
I don't think this is Scream Factory, but Creepshow 2, I guess, is out on Blu-ray.
Is that a new?
Is it Scream? No, it's Image. I don't know. Image Entertainment's putting out, apparently. I don't know if it's new.
Yeah, they put out Creepshow 1 about a year or so ago.
Okay.
Bare Bones.
I will say. So I enjoy that movie a great deal, but the Raft segment still freaks me out.
Yeah. That's the showpiece. Yeah.
The Raft I find to be... Even when I watched it whenever years ago, I found it. It's pretty. I don't know. It got to me. The raft got to, like the other ones are just kind of almost slapstick, right? I mean, the first one's like the killer Indian. Is that in the Creepshow mm-hmm. too?
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's Creepshow too.
And
yeah.
the third one is the Hitchhiker one, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And those are the three. It's three of them, right?
So. Yeah, and the wraparound with the little kid.
Right, the wraparound with the little kid. But the middle one, I mean, those are kind of like tongue in cheek, and the middle one's pretty legit. So I still, I don't know, blobs and amorphous blobs and lakes. I'm not into that.
Final season of The Office, which, you know.
There it is. Not as bad as it could have been.
No, it actually isn't as bad as season 7 and 8 that I found, although I didn't see every episode.
Going back and finishing watching the last season of The Office at the end of the actual TV season was a very different experience. I talked about this on the show before. When it first started, I thought it was terrible. I thought it was the worst thing. And then I watched all the other shows that were on.
Yeah,
everything else on TV was terrible. So when I went back to it, I was like, "Oh, that really wasn't that bad." It's sort of like the early summer movie phenomenon, where the early movies are like, "Yeah, these aren't that great." And then by the end of the summer, it's like, "Oh, those are actually pretty good."
I think Marnie is one of the worst Alfred Hitchcock movies, and so I'm not very excited about that.
But it's coming out. But I agree with you.
It's so dull and has a weird, boring psychobabble. Going on there.
And Tippi Hedren's just never really in the that Marnie and the Birds both. I've a lot of people like the Birds, but I can't.
Yeah, well, it's really I mean, it was the beginning of the end Marnie for Hitchcock, cuz then mm-hmm. he had the torn curtain and Topaz.
Yeah.
Frenzy mm-hmm. was a return to form, but that was it.
Interesting.
Speaking of Hitchcock, Spartacus, War of the Damned.
Yeah. Good segue.
Okay, if you say so.
actually excited about that. I did kind of, it is ridiculous, it's redonkulous, as the kids say, but it's the final segment, and the last ones have been hugely entertaining, so.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, speaking of Spartacus, there's Mystery Science Theater, the movie.
Oh, what was the movie there? Yeah, what was the actual movie?
The actual movie was This Island Earth.
Okay.
Universal sci-fi movie from the late 50s, I think. Which is, it's funny because, like, the movie itself, and I'm reviewing the Blu-ray now, and it's really great. I think there's the bonus features run longer than the movie itself, which is awesome.
Really?
Although the movie itself, to be fair, only runs 74 minutes, because Universal basically just told them to keep chopping and chopping. And the actual, what they run of This Island Earth is edited probably edit like a half an hour out of the movie. So it's little wonder that it makes sense. So a lot of fans have kind of cried foul about that, but
gotcha.
It's very funny, and they're great bonus features. What were you going to say, Daryl?
I was going to mention something way worse than and dumber than This Island Earth in Sharknado.
One of those we talked about tone, Matt, in your movies and stuff. Like, to me, this is like the wrong kind of movie. I mean, it's like they know they're trying to be stupid. That's not the point, you know. Like,
yeah, it's such a fine line. The way we approach it is we tell our actors to try the best they possibly can, and if it comes out bad, that's fine. But if you're trying to be bad, then it's not fun.
But again, like your stuff is generally witty and funny, I think. So there's like that kind of low budget, you know, where it's generally, you know, well done. Sharknado, like you said, they're trying to be bad, which misses the point. It's the ones that are it's the Miami Connections of the world, right?
Right.
You know, that are just giving it their all and failing miserably. So so to your credit, you guys don't fail. Miami Connection, have you seen Miami Connection, by the way?
No.
That is a favorite. It's a Netflix. I would recommend checking it out on Netflix.
It's quite a thing.
It's quite a thing. So, psycho kickboxers of the world, you know.
It was something like Sharknado. Like, nothing sucks the life out of a movie like cynicism and just sort of a manipulation of expectation.
And I don't think this was the case on the when they actually aired it on Sci-Fi, but the DVD cover, you know, has a tagline of "Enough said," and that kind of thing just turns me off even more.
You know what's weird about this movie? It got a lot of like Twitter buzz. And I remember, and nobody watched it.
Nobody watched it. It was exactly the ratings were exactly the same, or maybe even a little lower.
Yeah,
it was just all the jokes on Twitter making fun of the concept.
Right, and I mean, it's not like there isn't Birdemic, and you know, Thanksgiving and a million other stupid, terrible movies with funny titles out there.
See, but I will take, like, the godforsaken sci-fi movies that I'm succumbing to daily, it seems. You know, like the disaster, like Metal Tornado, you know? I prefer Metal Tornado to Sharknado because they are playing it real with Metal Tornado, but they are giving you stupid things like the Metal Tornado point of view shot. You know, as if the Metal Tornado is an actual being. So like, I'll take those terrible experiences, but at least you can have some fun at their expense.
Now,
these
what
are
if they,
cynical, as you said, Eric.
What if they did the movie instead of Sharknado, Sharknato, like N-A-T-O?
Sure, right.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, like...
It's like we're releasing
it's like
sharks.
Like a political thriller.
Yeah, political thriller with sharks.
We're
you know,
releasing land sharks on these... On the, Yeah,
we've got to keep signing resolutions or else we'll die.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. Do you think I don't know if there was a golden age for sci-fi movies, but do you think it's done now that they sort of know that everyone's in on the joke? And they're sort
of
like,
I don't think so. They still churn them out, man. I mean, how long have you been...
They churn them out just
what are they?
Cheap.
But, yeah, I mean, are they stopping? I mean, are they... Has the quality... Have they got to the point where they are embracing the terribleness in the wrong way, like with Sharknado?
I mean, before this, it was Sharktopus I had watched. Sharktopus was one, right? So this isn't like – I don't think Sharknado is necessarily unique because there were a couple of
– Yeah, Piranhasaurus was one.
Yeah, stuff like that for sure. I mean, I don't know.
Some of it's in the casting of Tara Reid.
Yeah. No, it's all bad news. I mean, it's bad
news.
All right. Hey, what's up with this? Is this a Sinbad? What is this now? Is this another?
I was going to ask you.
I don't know. I think it'd be like a Cinemax show that I made. it's not. I don't know.
That's a weird GP cover for a stand-up comedy special. I'll tell you that.
It's produced by
Sinbad
by
has aged well, I would say.
Good for him. He's really rich these days.
Puts together, yes.
And white, but still.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
It's from the BBC, so...
Is it really? The BBC?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. BBC Home Entertainment.
Oh. All right.
Which I guess sadly doesn't mean a whole lot, but
yeah.
It could be a little slightly classier than we think.
Hey, what's this Mulan? What is this? Is this like a, what is going
it's
on?
It's like a, it's kind of a serious retelling of the legend of Mulan. Not the Disney one, obviously.
Obviously, but I mean... There's a lot of bodies. There's a lot of corpses at her feet, and this is a, you know...
There's also
it's like a live action Dumbo, you know, with dead bodies everywhere, an elephant standing out there. You know? All right, well, Matt, what we do when we cap this off, we let our minds wander back into our middle school days and we get all scatological. So now we're going to look for the most inadvertently sounding, by the inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. So inadvertently sleazy sounding. This is how we kind of wrap this segment up. So Eric, why don't you show how it's done?
Oh boy, I should have prepared for this. I'll go with Bomb Girls.
Bomb Girls.
That's not how it's done, but someone
it's all right. There's not a ton to work with here. But
oh yeah, I'm sorry. Can I change my answer?
Go ahead.
Fun Size.
Damn it.
Sorry, I probably shouldn't have gone twice. I apologize.
All right.
My first answer sucked. So.
All right, I had a backup. It's fine. I'm gonna go with Idle Hands.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
You want Mac?
I guess if we take it literally, Sinbad.
Not bad. I like what you did there. All right, Matt, you got the sense of what we're doing here. It's a great bit, obviously. So,
yeah. Am I supposed to come up with one?
Yeah. You see. Yeah. So anyone here that could be taking that a 13-year-old boy would laugh at because it sounds sleazy.
From Up on Poppy Hill.
That's good. You got it. And I have literally nothing.
My day, bottom row.
Bottom
I
row?
I see one more.
Okay.
Mm. I see two more.
Okay, I see yours. You're right. Wiggly Halloween.
That's the one.
That is a winner, I think. So thank you.
The end of that chapter.
Oh, gosh. Wiggly Halloween. Jeez. Oh, okay. So now we're in our final phase of the Friday Filibuster, where this is our ambush topics. We throw random topics at each other. Mac, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Here's... I'll just go for it. It's green slime.
Green slime. So now we just kind of I'll jump in and Mac will wrap us up. You know, wrap us up with his topic. So green slime is the topic.
All right, I'm going with the entire run of You Can't Do That on Television.
That's an excellent
nice.
One.
Good one.
You know, I always, you know, I watched it when I was a young buck, but
I loved that show when I was a little kid.
Right. I was always like, I didn't understand the magic behind the slime.
No, me neither. It's like, just don't say it.
Just don't say it, or like, where's the meth? How's it coming from? Are there some crazy voice recognition machines that are triggering? And I also thought, like, why would you be on this show? I thought, like, kids were forced to be on the show because getting slimed would be the worst. So, like, I literally was afraid I would get a letter from Nickelodeon saying I had to be on the show.
So, being drafted?
Like you were drafted. Yes. Yeah, like the Hunger Games. Right.
Right. When the cast would change, it would signal that that person's paid off their debts.
That's right. So, but I still love Dave. Even to this day, it's like, wow, where does
so yeah, they've gone to Winnipeg. I mean, all know what that means.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That you know, I remember back that show was. I mean, I guess it was age appropriate because it was juvenile, but there was a lot of like stuff on there that I don't think you would have seen on American kids television.
Yeah, probably not.
A lot of lame up poop jokes and stuff.
A lot of poop jokes. I mean, I remember watching one episode with my mom, and they're like the kids are watching a 3D movie. And, like, a pterodactyl dropped a big poop nugget on some kid's lap, right? My mom said, okay, you're not watching this anymore.
I remember some gag about like, the mom on the show telling the kid to use both sides of the toilet paper to save toilet paper.
Not bad.
I don't know. It's like,
how about the recurring gag of kids being shot in a firing squad?
Yeah, that's right.
That's probably, yeah.
No wonder we're screwed up.
All right, green slime.
Well, I'll keep it on the Nickelodeon tip with Double Dare.
Good. Yes.
Slime was big in the 80s, wasn't
slime
it?
Slime was huge in the 80s. They had a slime fountain, remember?
The Nickelodeon. Yeah, do you think it was all part of, like, just the general, like nuclear, the fear of, like, nuclear kind of waste and stuff like that, you know?
I suppose.
General sense that we were all just a thin green line away from...
Absolutely. All right, Matt. You got anything occurring to you?
I don't know. I don't know if it's green. Is the dip in Roger Rabbit green? I'm not positive.
I think that counts for sure.
Okay, I'll take it.
Nice. The dip. Yeah, equally terrifying liquid for sure. I'll just go with the layup here. Got to go with Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Oh, of course, classic.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it looked more like phlegm than anything, but well, whatever.
Well, Eric, you stole mine because I was going to riff on Double Dare.
Riff away.
is that they never revealed what the ingredient of the slime was. When the people asked what it was, they would only answer, it's gack.
Gack, yes.
Yeah. Oh.
And so to this day, I don't think the ingredients have ever been revealed. They're still holding on to the secret. So
I do like the name gack, correct.
Yes, they got a lot of mileage out of gack.
All right. Daryl, what do you got?
All right, so my original one was pet names, good pet names, but I'm not sure that actually flies. I'm not sure that's broad enough just because I couldn't think of very much. So in event that it can't, great pets.
I like great pets. And if they have great names, it's a bonus. How about that?
Yes.
I got one.
Go for it.
How about Yellow Dog from Funny Farm with Chevy Chase?
Yes, excellent. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Great name and also just a great dog, too.
Now, he was the lazy one, super lazy one.
Oh, yeah, because they got him to replace the first dog who ran away, though, he got it. And Yellow Dog never moved. He was great.
A great gag where he lifted his tail out of the fire.
Yeah, very underrated Chevy Chase movie.
I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
Penny Farm has held its weight for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'll go with a less great dog. I'll go with Cujo.
Yeah, that is not a great dog, correct.
Good dog name, though.
I only ever saw that movie in its entirety. I just remember flipping onto the scenes where he's drooling on himself and attacking the car. You know?
Yeah,
I just right, okay, it is all right.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's supposed to be easier. Why am I... Does Kevin the robot count as a pet? Probably not.
I think so.
Build
a pet? His pet.
Okay, I will use I will use a pet from Saved by the Bell anyway. Artie Slater's lizard. Remember this episode?
Artie,
Screech, and Zach are supposed to watch Artie, his best friend. So, you know, hulking super popular wrestler Slater, his best friend was a lizard, and the lizard died because I think he was left under the light too long or something by Screech. So they did the So what do you think? Do you think they tried to replace Artie from the pet store? I think if you said yes, you were correct. Yes.
Oh, I have another guess, though. I bet Slater knew the difference.
You are correct. Oh, that's right. You are up on your... You're up on your...
Slater is smart and strong.
He is smart and strong, yes.
Artie, another good name from the 80s/early 90s.
Yeah, Artie's good. Artie's good.
Artie, strongest man in the world. That's another good Artie. Nice. The topic is Artie's, right? This is the...
okay, so let me think. I guess I'll just the first one that pops into mind is the Dire Wolves from Game of Thrones.
That's good.
Yeah. Which had really cool names like, you know, Ghost and Summer and Nymeria, except for the really little kid who named his Shaggy Dog.
Ouch.
So that's going to come back to haunt him when he eventually becomes King of the North.
Shaggy Dog, dismember the infant.
I think Artie was the name of one of the dragons in Game of Thrones.
I think so. Yes. You may take Artie, yes. Artie was one, Slater was the other, actually.
I knew Martin was such a big Saved by the Bell fan.
He was a huge fan, yes. I'm really looking forward to the new characters, Stacy of Carosi. She's gonna get to see. Okay, we could just destroy this joke. Sarah, what was your
point? I'm the only one left. All right, well, I'm happily surprised you didn't steal mine. I'm going with since we haven't had an Arrested Development reference in a couple of weeks, Buster's pet turtle, Mother.
Yes.
Yes. Her little snappy face.
Yes, he does have a type. He does have a snappy face. He does have a type. Okay. Let's see. I will go next, I guess. Suits of Armor.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with a movie that I don't remember if I actually mentioned it or not, but 5 or 6 weeks ago, I reviewed a documentary called Skull World about this guy who this Canadian guy who has started the box wars movement in Canada, something that was started in Australia apparently, where people build themselves massive suits of armor and weapons out of cardboard and meet together to beat the armor off of each other.
Wow. All right. Nice.
Their suits are really elaborate too. They're like
they're really
with
elaborate. Yeah.
Spikes and big skulls all made out of cardboard.
Yeah, it's like a Gwar concert but cardboard.
Well, there you go, Matt. That's your next bead on costumes, whatever that is. So, all right.
I'm gonna go with the stained glass knight from Young Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, good one.
Speaking of disturbing things from where you
that's a great, yeah.
And Matt, here's another. This always pops up for some like every couple of weeks. Talk about Young Sherlock Holmes and how it's freaked the crap out of us when we were younger. So
nice.
See, in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, damn you, Mac!
Oh, I took yours on the road.
And the cycle continues.
They get into those suits really quickly.
Exactly. How do they do that?
In order to hide. And then one of them miraculously just happens to fall out of the suit.
Yes.
I never quite got the physics of how that was possible.
That's right.
They can just fall out of a suit of armor. Maybe he was time displaced or something.
That's probably it. Might as well just say that. There's not a better explanation.
All right, Matt. Any suits of armor?
I'm drawing a blank. I apologize.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay.
We can widen it. How about any?
How about we'll give C-3PO? Why not? It's close enough, right? There is an actor inside of that.
It's armor of a kind.
That's right. That we will give. That is your. That is a rookie. We'll give you that rookie point for sure.
Okay, I'll take it.
Well, since I had nothing, I guess luckily a backup did spring to mind. Do you remember the knight who got zapped in Neverending Story?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was walking past the two suits with their giant breasts.
Oh yeah.
And he zapped and that was again as a young kid. Apparently the theme now is traumatic stuff we watched as a young child. But I remember like, you know, when it panned up him and like the thing popped open and the burnt face and stuff. So yeah, that was I never understood why he didn't just do a full gallop through that, you know. He just kind of took his time. But maybe those sphinxes have better peripheral vision than I give him credit.
Because everybody in that movie did everything really slowly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Never ending indeed.
Indeed. All right. Let's see. Boy. Eric, have you gone?
No, I have not gone.
Go for it.
Should I go? All right. Well, in honor of the time of year that it is, back to school. It doesn't have to be the beginning of the school year, but anything school related.
How about the movie Back to School? Which
sure, that would be that would count.
Maybe I don't know if I'm alone in this. It is a movie I find fairly highly entertaining.
Yeah, it's more entertaining than a lot of comedies from that same time.
I just find it very watchable. I just don't like it's just one of those movies that's on. I will sit and I will watch it, and I just find it just entertaining and fun. And it's got Johnny from Karate Kid as a
yeah.
He's got another douchebag. He's in there. He's got like Roddy Dangerfield's son. I don't know. He's super short. And he falls in love with this Amazonian woman who's super tall, so that's fun to watch. And I don't know, I just find Back to School to be
entertaining. You know, when I watch a movie like Trading Places today,
yeah,
I'm bored. I'm just straight bored. But I'm entertained by Back to School. Most of that's Roddy Dangerfield.
Yeah, he's good in that. Yeah,
he's just who he is.
Kurt Vonnegut's cameo. Is
yes,
great.
It was.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Kurt Vonnegut. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So there you go.
Summer School. I don't think I've seen it since it came out, but that's a great one.
Nice.
Oh, that's what it – I was having a discussion with somebody a couple of days ago about Mark Harmon, and I couldn't remember what his 80s movie that was so damn big was. It was Summer School.
It didn't really catapult him in – I don't know. Well, he did like – he did some TV work. Oh, no. He's in freaking most popular TV show on the planet.
Right.
Yeah. So
NCIS. Yeah.
But that is a good – that is another favorite, another kind of underrated favorite of ours.
Yeah, and then they have the two characters who are obsessed with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Those guys are great.
Those guys – yeah, that's right. And they did that horror montage to scare off the substitute or something.
Yeah. Carl Reiner directed that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A good one.
All right. I'm going to go with my favorite high school movie, high school placed movie in Heather's.
That's a Mac favorite as well. Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I know Fast Times at Ridgemont High covers the entire school year. I don't remember any specific first day of school stuff.
Doesn't have to be first day of school. Just school. Yeah. Right. Mine is not the first day of school. So.
But I guess it's when.
Can I just say that probably, that's that kind of broad topic I really appreciate versus pet names.
Brutal. I gave you a broader topic.
I did. I appreciate that, but you confessed that your original one was pet names. So
my backup topic was stuff. So
sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
I was just saying. The scene I was thinking of is Spicoli shows up late for class the first day, and Mr. Hand gives him trouble. And that kind of kicks off pretty much their whole plot line in the whole movie. So.
Nice. Okay, well, Matt, you're going to take us away here, so I got a topic to throw at.
So should I actually do mine? Or
I'm sorry, Eric.
I mean, I could. I don't have to. But
do it. Go for it.
All right. I recently rewatched Dazed and Confused, which starts at the end of a school year and then leaves school, but that's a great movie.
It is. It's like 20 years old, too.
Wow. It's crazy. Yeah. And it takes place, you know, further
older.
Back.
Is it older than that?
90, well,
95?
No.
95? Yeah, 95 or 6, something like that. I was in college.
Yeah, 20 years or so. Oof. But yeah, excellent. For sure.
Another great soundtrack, too.
And another movie that'll show up and you will just plug in and watch it.
Yeah, really easily. Just watch. If you catch it in the center, that's something you can just easily come in and watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Strong lineup of films there. Strong lineup. So, all right, anyway, where was I? Matt, go ahead.
I'm kind of new at this, but I'm thinking something that's fun is when they kind of drop an entire song into the middle of a movie. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking of the chase scene in Fletch when they have that song Get Out of Town. You pretty much hear the whole song. So the best time that they essentially drop a music video into the middle of a movie.
Oh, so many to choose from. That is actually that's a home run because there's a lot of favorites that spring to mind immediately. So. And I have a feeling I know where Eric's going to go, but we'll see.
All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe not. I'm going to go with Magnolia.
Oh, okay. You went in a slightly different direction.
Hey. they're all singing that Amy Mann song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wise Up.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to go with Voyage of the Rock Aliens, which is
that's
what I thought you would go for. But that's obviously
perhaps a little on the nose.
It's where it's an actual music video that. I mean, it's a musical, but they start with a music video that has zero bearing to any of the film. It just opens with a Jermaine Jackson. Why is this movie not on DVD?
Probably like because of Jermaine Jackson.
That's true. It is on DVD, like, in Germany or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right? Is it something like that?
So. Yeah, it is, yeah.
I know there's a lot of these.
But while you're thinking, I'm going to get a bonus one in. Okay. Miami Connection, which has full...
Yeah, I was thinking about Miami Connection. Full, it's got the full concert.
Full, yeah, full concerts. Of
you know what's funny about that is that when you, if you watch the woman singing, she's clearly not singing the lyrics that are being sung, and I want to find a lip reader to find out if that song is actually...
All you need to do is buy the Blu-ray, which everyone should have in their possession, and just turn on those subtitles.
But the subtitles won't will have the song there. It's not what she's actually saying.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
But the lyric, the
but you need the subtitles anyway to understand the main character.
Obviously. Well, yeah, yeah. But he could beat me up, so
that's true.
I guess again, I'm going with the first one that comes to mind. But any of the songs from Footloose fit this category. They're all ready-made music videos, and you know the premise. I love the movie. Don't get me wrong; it's a great movie. But the premise is that it's a town where nobody dances. Yeah, you know, whenever there's a musical number, suddenly everyone's dancing like, you know, they've been trained since birth to dance. you kind of have to suspend your disbelief a little. Yeah.
Did the remake for that ever actually come out? I can't remember.
Yes.
Yes.
Like a year or two ago.
Thank goodness.
A lot of hype about it, yeah. A lot of people comparing it to Glee.
Thank goodness. All right, so I... all right, I'm going to go with it's not quite a music video in a song, but it is at least almost the whole song, is when James Brown comes out to sing Living in America in Rocky IV.
Oh, that's great. Really good.
That's excellent. I mean, to the point where are you really sad that Apollo gets killed at that after all that?
No.
They really beat up about all that. Yeah, I mean, at some point.
Yeah. Apollo was asking for it with such a production before the
He yeah. was. I mean, what do you expect Dolph Lundgren? What do you expect?
Drago.
Yeah, what do you expect him to do? You know? I mean,
yeah.
What would be cool is if when the fight moved to Russia, they're the equivalent. Like James Brown dog bitch. So,
all right, speaking of that, not to change the subject, this will be brief. I'm going to find it really fast. I'm going to recommend a video to all of you and everybody listening from YouTube that I was exposed to yesterday, and it is a Russian military choir singing Adele's Skyfall.
Okay.
And I'm going to find the link real fast and just read it out because everybody should see this.
All right.
It's from a morning show, and the hosts are in love, and it's all very strange.
Sounds like
all right. So, yes.
This isn't a Viva Variety sketch, right?
No. All right, so it's the URL is www.youtube.com/watch?V
What are you doing? what are you doing to us, sir? What would we search for in the
YouTube? Yeah, give us like,
okay, search for Russian military choir Skyfall.
I think that'd be good. All right.
I have a question now. Is that before WW, is that HTTP?
That's right. I don't think you need the HTTP anymore. I think we're all okay.
HTTPS.
That's the best way I could think of not to tell you what I searched for.
Let me read the URL.
HTTP, which stands for Hyper Transfer Protocol.
See, I couldn't even tell you that. So,
yeah. First, it's search your America Online disc.
Right. Exactly.
What's set up an account.
I'm on Prodigy.
What's the AOL keyword I need to search for the video? I want to find the... Sorry.
Log into our exclusive filibuster AOL chat.
If you go to our bulletin board, find the ASCII GIF.
Sorry, yeah. Okay, right. Russian military Adele, that should take you where we need to go. So, all right, so is that everybody? Matt, did you go with your Fletch song, or did you have another one in the pipe?
Yeah, Naked Gun, right in the middle. They Something Tells Me I'm Into Something Good.
Oh, yes.
Good.
And they even did a little music video thing in the corner at the end.
Did, yes.
Right, yeah.
Double clothesline.
Man, I laughed so hard at that scene.
When they're coming out of
platoon. I was watching that when they clotheslined people. I laughed so hard. Oh, that was funny. I don't think any comedy since has eclipsed that moment for me. So.
Yeah, what a great movie.
Great movie. So, man, and that is... another great gag for that movie.
let me see. I think it's on Netflix. Let me give you the URL.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right. So that is it for this edition of Pride of Filibuster. So thank you to Matt, Daryl, and Eric. Thank you very, very much to our special guest, Matt Farley. Appreciate it again. Local Legends is the film. Now you actually do have a YouTube account for your studio, right?
Moturn Media. It's like Modern Media except with a T instead of a D.
So, and do you have any other stuff uploaded on your YouTube page?
It's not on my page, but if you search Freaky Farley, you'll find the full movie Freaky Farley in HD.
Nice. And check out River Beast. Don't let the River Beast get you, which is the full title of the film, and that is on.
That's on DVD and also on demand.
Nice. So, and I do heartily recommend them. They're a good time, and it's they're suitable for all ages, which is always cool. So so thank you, Matt, for joining us. That wraps this edition up, a jam-packed, fun episode. So, Mac, why don't you close us out?
Let's boo-boo.